Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast, Reacts to the Texas Baylor game. I am Chip Brown, joined by our fearless leader, Horns 24/7 managing editor, Taylor Estes. Taylor, how are you doing?
Well, Chip, you know, we're we are reacting to a Texas win, which means that, you know, hopefully some of the anger that and the angst that Texas fans were feeling leading up to this game hasn't really been too loud. So it's been kind of pleasant. You know, how are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it was a day where Texas clearly had a plan and they followed the plan. They stuck to the plan of running the football and it paid off. It was not incredibly successful early. They fell behind Baylor 3-0 in the first quarter, but they stuck with it and it paid off. In the end, they ended up with some play action passes, some big passes downfield that led to points, a 72-yard pass to Tariq Black that helped set up a field goal, a 42-yard pass that helped set up a touchdown, a 16-yard pass, 47-yard pass that led to a touchdown. And they, you know, on that list of things to clean up that gets talked about so much by Tom Herman and Sam Ellinger and the players, it seemed like that list was growing, not getting smaller through the first three Big 12 games against Texas Tech, TCU, and OU. They actually were able to clean some things up on that list, Taylor. When you talk about the running game, they were able to run the ball. It was not spectacular, but it was effective enough. It did set up that play action pass. They were able to stop the run. Baylor, who struggled clearly to run the football. Remember we talked about this last week, that they ran it 33 times for 27 yards against West Virginia. So this is not an outstanding Baylor offense. Their offensive line has struggled, but Texas was able to control their running game. Baylor ran it 21 times for 64 yards, a 3 yards per carry average. And they had reduced penalties, fewer penalties. The last one was an eye popper because it was Derek Kerstetter, senior center, captain, again, shoving a player in the back again. And this time the player went flying into a Baylor coach, knocked him over. It was like, could you be any more obvious? And that was on a third down play where there was a drop. So it wasn't like it negated a gain or anything like that. But still, you just
it's dumb. It's dumb.
Gives up field positions. Just dumb. And I thought this was a lesson learned situation after how egregious his shoving of an OU player in the back near the goal line was in the OU game. But they had five penalties for 50 yards. They had been averaging close to 10 penalties per game for almost 90 yards. And then they were better on third down defensively. And because Texas ran the ball, they actually held the ball for 32 minutes compared to Baylor's 28 minutes. And that allowed a beleaguered defense to rest. And then when the defense was on the field, they held Baylor to 5 of 14 on third down. So the confidence tank gets some replenishing. The big question, Taylor, is how much confidence is in that tank with a Halloween trip to Stillwater against first place and undefeated, the Big 12's only undefeated, Oklahoma State, this Saturday at 3 o'clock in Stillwater. That's the million-dollar question, and only those players and coaches you know, have a true idea of that. But hey, it's better than the alternative. This was a game where Texas actually took some strides forward instead of failing to get better. They actually got better this week.
You know, one thing, Chip, I think that you have to consider. So you and I, you know, we're going to have a different viewpoint of the game, I think, just because we're looking for, you know, the details of it. I think Texas, a win is a win, is a win, is a win, is a win. You know what I mean? So it's a good thing that Texas is on the winning side of things. I'm probably a little bit more skeptical of saying that it was a much improved Texas, you know, performance, quote unquote, just based off of them making the improvement and not so much, you know, I think that it could have been a little bit more about who, you know, the level of competition essentially that they were playing. However, as long as the players inside that locker room have the confidence, it doesn't matter what you and I say. You know, we can break down this game as much as possible, but this is where Tom Herman needs to, instead, in my opinion, instead of just constantly being that hard-nosed type of drill it into your head type of coach, maybe this is a time where he tries to lift up this team to see if they can actually build, you know, confidence, because I think that's something that this Texas team has really struggled with this season. You know, it seems like I don't know if it's a lack of confidence or if it's a lack of preparation, a lack of, you know, whatever, but some of the games that they've played in, it just seemed like it took a while for them to get up and to like make any type of progress. So I feel like this might be a very important week for the coaching staff to really try to lift this team up, and instead of, you know, nitpicking everything they're doing wrong, kind of, you know, praise them a little bit to see how they can possibly take that type of confidence on the road with them, because they're going to need it. Like you said, like Oklahoma State has they have essentially, you know, a little bit of a three-headed monster in a sense, you know, now that Spencer Sanders, he's, you know, back, and with Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard, you know, that this is not going to be an easy task in the slightest facing this offense. But the other thing too is Oklahoma State's defense, I think, is far better than what a lot of people expected the Cowboys to be this season. So it is so imperative, I think, for the Texas staff to truly make these players believe that this was a huge win, that there was tons of improvement, and see if they can kind of, you know, gain some leverage based off of just the confidence the team has.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the coaches, the fact that Mike Yurcich had to kind of channel it down and kind of grind with the running game. And they needed that mindset because they had gotten away from the run. They'd abandoned the run in those three, at various times they abandoned the run in those three, first three Big 12 games, in the third quarter against Texas Tech, certainly in the third quarter against OU. And then, you know, throughout the TCU game, they got away from the run and it became Sam Ehlinger throwing and running for his life. That's basically what the offense became. And this time it was a steady dose of running the ball with Keyonte Ingram, who, no, he didn't blow anyone away, but he was solid. He was solid. He had 16 carries for 57 yards, 3.6 a carry. Again, not great, but enough that Baylor had to respect the running game and expect it. So that when they went to the play action pass, Sam actually could fool the defense a little bit and find those big chunk plays down the field to Jared Wiley, who had a 35-yard reception. And we mentioned the Tariq Black 72-yarder, and you know, Josh Moore had an incredible 42-yard reception, probably candidate for play of the game, that helped set up a touchdown reception made by him a couple plays later. So that stuff that the players can see, okay, we had a plan, we stuck to the plan, it worked, because that's important. From what I was hearing from my sources connected to the players, it was, we're doing everything they're asking us to do and we're not winning. Like, our plan isn't working. We're confused. We're still in this together. We still believe in the coaches, but we're just confused. Well, this is a game where they can look at it and say, okay, like the offensive line can see how tangible being able to run the football, how important it is. And that every offensive lineman wants to run the football because that means they're firing off at the defensive line. They get to go forward instead of backpedaling in pass protection.
Right.
And so who knows? I mean, Oklahoma State, like we said, has given up some rushing yards. Certainly Iowa State ran the ball on them, as we mentioned, 227 yards rushing on 33 carries. I mean, Breece Hall looked like the leading rusher in the conference. I mean, Breece Hall averaged 9.3 yards per carry against Oklahoma State. That's staggering. I mean, 20 carries for 185 yards. He had a 70-yard touchdown run and a 66-yard touchdown run and a 70-yard run that also, that actually led to a missed field goal, but there were some big chunks available on the ground. And so I think Texas has to look at that and say, okay, we have to deploy the same game plan against Oklahoma State, and we have to be patient with it and hope that our defense can contain these guys, because you're right. I mean, Chuba Hubbard, say what you want, he didn't outrush Breece Hall, but he ran an average 5.6 a carry, you know, 25 carries, 139 yards and a touchdown. Spencer Sanders ran it 15 times for 71 yards and a touchdown. We know from last year's game, the first time Tom Herman had beaten Mike Gundy, that 36-30 game where Oklahoma State was, they were making yards and turned that thing into a much closer game than it started off being. And that was Spencer Sanders as a first-time starter at quarterback. Now he knows what he's doing, and he's still got Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace to, you know, as playmakers to get the ball to.
Yeah. You know, one thing to consider going into this Oklahoma State game, Chip, is how much, you know, I'm curious about how much knowledge that Mike Yurcich still has of the Oklahoma State offense. You know, I know it's been a few years since he's been there, but it hasn't been that long. And he was, you know, offensive coordinator for Mike Gundy for what, 5 years, I believe it, right? Wasn't he there for 5 years before going to Ohio State? Yeah. So I'm curious how much or little that may play in Texas' favor going into the Oklahoma State game. You know, I mean, regardless of that or whatever it is, you know, this is a better Oklahoma State defense than, you know, what they have been in the past. And I know that, you know, Iowa State kind of showed a little bit of negative, you know, play, I guess, for Oklahoma State. But still, you know, they're still, I think, like one of the top 10 teams in scoring defense so far this season. Now, how much of that is who they played, I'm not sure, but still, you know, this is going to be a big challenge, I think, not only for the Texas defense, but I think more for the Texas offense, because I don't know if many people expected this Oklahoma State team to be able to, you know, limit teams to scoring a lot of points, because I think the Iowa State game, they scored 21 points. That was like by far the most points that Oklahoma State's given up this season.
Right. 24-21 was the final score of that game. And Taylor, I think a couple other things from the Baylor game for Texas, from a cleanup mode, the eyes of Texas. I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous, but the players had been saying, look, we're together, you know, we're unified as a team, and we understand everyone has a different opinion about the eyes of Texas. And it was clear that Chris Del Conte had asked the coaches, hey, you know, get your teams to stand together. Otherwise it looks like they're torn apart and perception can become reality. Then you had the delay at OU, the Cotton Bowl, and it looked worse probably than it was from a perception standpoint with the photo of Sam and all that. So they stood together after the Baylor game, and the players feel like they've put that part to rest. And look, the more noise they can lower and kind of get rid of, the better for them. Mm-hmm. And so obviously going on the road, they have not played the eyes on the road. They don't, you know, they didn't at Texas Tech, I should say. And so, you know, not that that's going to be something, but they at least put that thing to bed so they don't have to hear about it on social media and be asked about it by us. And so, you know, they knock that off the list as well. And special teams, you know, Ryan Buchevsky had the 19-yard punt. That was terrible. They had the offside or the delay of game on the field goal attempt, but then Baylor jumped offsides. They got that 5 yards back, and Dicker made a 41-yard field goal. Special teams, there wasn't the big blunder, you know, that, and there shouldn't be big blunders on special teams, but they were clean on special teams.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, that Buchevsky punt was horrible. I was in the press box for the game, and I looked down for a second. He punted it, and I saw where they were placing the ball. I was like, wait, I didn't think they returned it. I see it on TV. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was a shank of a shank. But yeah, special teams is, that's going to be a question moving forward. And again, you know, how much... I'm just not sure if I learned a ton about this Texas team against Baylor, just because I don't think this Baylor team even knows who it is right now, with everything that they have gone through. But, you know, special teams, it can't be the thing that makes you lose games. You know right. what I mean? And Texas has gotten real close in having those special teams blunders be the ones that lead to them losing ball games. So going down the stretch here, you know, with Oklahoma State, you know, road game at Kansas State, home game versus Iowa State, like those type of things have to be cleaned up. So it was a good start, I think, for Texas against Baylor, you know, to kind of reach that midway point of the season and actually have some of the things that they wanted to clean up show up on the field. Now it's just a matter of making sure that becomes, you know, standard and not the anomaly for this season, because there's a lot of talented teams that Texas still has to face, and that, you know, Tom Herman's job's riding on it, Chip. And so I think that I think this week's going to just be a really big coaching and leadership week for this Texas team to see if they can truly build off of the improvements that we're seeing against Baylor. And I think we're going to find that out this coming Saturday.
Yeah, no, I think it's a big week for the coaching staff. Clearly, Tom Herman and Mike Yurcich were able to get a focused game plan, sticking to the run. You know, the times that Texas rushes for 200 yards and wins, it's staggering. I mean, that's the magic number. So the fact that Texas didn't hit the 200-yard rushing mark, but still ran it 47 times and it was good enough to create play action. Another thing, Taylor, that, you know, Brennan Eagles has been a bit of an enigma this season. And Brennan had some big catches yesterday. He ended up being the leading receiver. He only had 4 catches for 36 yards, but 2 of those were on third down. And that's big. I mean, when the quarterback is throwing to you on third down, it means that you're the trusted guy. And obviously they threw the big touchdown pass, the two-point conversion, right? Well, they threw a touchdown and the two-point conversion to Brennan Eagles at Texas Tech when they had to make up the 15 points in the final 3:13. So then he kind of disappeared, and then boom, he was back for Baylor. They've got to get more consistency in that relationship from Sam Ellinger and Brennan Eagles, because the guy's got experience. He's played in big games. They need him to be a big game guy. And we'll see if that is something that they can build on. Josh Moore, as we said, had the big 42-yard catch, may have been the play of the game. And Jared Wiley had a couple of nice catches. I mean, one for 47 yards and another for 23 yards. So that that stuff gives the opposing defense something to think about. And they took advantage of a busted coverage on the 72-yard pass to Tariq Black, which bailed them out of a big hole because Ellinger had been sacked, and that was a big hole. But so I think, and Bijan Robinson, 12 carries, 55 yards, 4.6 a carry, looked good, building the confidence. Rashawn Johnson is so beat up. And yet when he came in, I think he had a reception where he broke three tackles for 7 yards, and the drive ended up going nowhere. But that catch and breaking those three tackles to get those 7 yards showed you just how tough this kid is.
Oh yeah.
Dealing with a shoulder, neck, and rib injury, and such a warrior. They need him to get rested up because he needs to be a part of this running game too.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. And you know, I think that I think it was probably smart of the Texas staff, because after the game, Tom Herman had was, you know, talking about Roschon Johnson, and he kind of said that he felt confident in I forget exactly how he worded it, but essentially it was, there was a little bit of a concern over playing Roschon too much, and they thought that they could do enough with Bijan Robinson and Keontae Ingram, and they were doing well enough in what they were asking of them in the run game that they didn't have to necessarily rely on Roschon Johnson. But if he can have a week where he can get, you know, that's probably a smart thing, because he has another week to get healthier. And with Bijan Robinson, you know, getting some early season reps, I feel, you know, he's been, you know, as we've said, he hasn't lit the world on fire or anything, but still he's been consistently, he's been consistent when he has been in games. And so I think that this, if Roschon Johnson can get back to being full health, then Texas offense could be totally different than what we've been talking about, than what we've, you know, it may not be the offense that shoots itself in the foot or comes out, you know, stale. And they did a good job coming out of halftime, you know, in the third quarter. The offense was productive in the third quarter. And that's been something that Texas hasn't necessarily been too much under Tom Herman's watch. So, you know, I think that if they can get a full healthy run, or, you know, backfield for the running game, that could absolutely help just the progression of this team down the latter stretch of the season.
Yeah, and we should also mention Juwan Mitchell led the team in tackles with 12. But Moro Ojomo may have had his best game as a Longhorn. He got penetration and forced Josh Fleeks right into the arms of Juwan Mitchell for a 5-yard tackle for loss. And then right after that, Baylor kicker John Mayers missed a 43-yard field goal attempt, which showed why Baylor passed on a 47-yard attempt earlier and punted from UT's 30-yard line, which tells you how little confidence they have in their field goal kicking. But Moro Ojomo also fought through a hold to sack Charlie Brewer, and that was the lone sack in the game. And Moro Ojomo making some noise, and I've said, If he didn't start making noise, that maybe Alfred Collins should start getting a look at that strong side defensive end, because Alfred Collins, every time he's on the field, seems to make plays. But the confidence tank, you know, needed to get filled up a bit, Taylor, and who knows how much it got filled up. And as you said, and I agree, it's all about what those players believe. And then also that I think the coaches showed something to themselves in this game, especially Mike Yurcich, who likes to go tempo and get it going, but they didn't have to go tempo to sustain drives. And, you know, they had a 17-play drive, and they won the time of possession, and they dominated the third quarter against a team that they should do those things against. So we will leave it there, and we'll come back on Wednesday, and we will dig more into whether Texas is going to play the house that gets egged on Halloween, or perhaps dress up as the conference contender. We thought this team would be at the beginning of the year when they go up to face the Oklahoma State Cowboys in Stillwater on Halloween. That sound good to you?
Yep. Yep. Are you, you're going to the Oklahoma State game too?
I am going. I'm going to spend Halloween in Stillwater. And
will you get me a shirt from Eskimo Joe's while you're there?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
I love their shirts.
Only for you.
That's the one stop I always make in Stillwater is to get a shirt from Eskimo Joe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I can't love, go there.
Love Eskimo Joe's. Even in a pandemic, I get the sense that place is hopping.
Yeah, I bet so.
All right. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the flagship podcast Reacts to Texas's 27-16 win over Baylor. Be listening on Wednesday when Taylor and I get back together again to really sink our teeth into this matchup with Oklahoma State, and of course to the flagship podcast preview interview with, it'll be someone from the Oklahoma State side of things who will help break down the Cowboys for us. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Thanks again for listening to the flagship podcast. Head over to iTunes, throw us a five-star rating and a review. The bosses would really appreciate that. And until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.